Brothers and sisters, and all MAMI members attending this service via GCN, internet, and other media, having endured the trials of blessings, we welcome the new year with anticipation and hope. We've been restoring our aroma of worship services and our spirit-filled and fervent prayer. On top of this, spiritual love and peace is growing more and more in our hearts. So, what is the reason that Manmin has been victorious day after day, even amidst the trial of blessings? It's because no matter how desperately the enemy devil tries to destroy and interfere with this church, the words of life have continuously overflown while the works of power serving as the evidence of the living God have been manifested without ceasing. We have witnessed this through the divine healing meeting in the second part of the Friday online service. We have experienced and seen and heard such things. You know, in China, globally, this newly emerged coronavirus is driving the whole world into fear. You know, yesterday, the death toll was 250, but as I heard the news today, it exceeded 300. By the way, not just this disease, but in the U.S., not just this new coronavirus, but flu was prevalent throughout the, you know, about 11 weeks. Thousands of people got infected with flu, and over 8,200 people died by the flu. I think some of you may not be aware of this news. But while we didn't hear the news, such things have occurred, and such phenomena could continue. Like this, all over the world, people live in fear. But despite this situation, we just think that this is the symptoms of the signs of the end time. Some may argue, such things happened 1,000 years ago, 100 years ago. It has always happened. There has been always volcano eruptions. Yes, there have been. Like hundreds of years ago, or thousands of years ago, for example, there was a disease that struck the entire Europe that killed so many people. Earthquake and volcano eruptions have always happened in the world. But what we can realize that this time is the end time is that such disasters happened, you know, not as often as today. Such disasters happen, you know, every 10 years or every... And it's becoming more frequent. We have to take note of this fact. Especially the MERS disease. Some of you may already have forgotten that disease, but it didn't happen. It wasn't a long time ago. Back in 2015, a MERS disease hit the Middle East and the world. And also, SARS struck the China and other countries. It didn't happen a long time ago. So, which means such things are happening more frequent, and we have to realize that this is the end time. The words of the Bible are being fulfilled, and so we have to stay awake in this time. One of the MAMI members in China, she came over to Korea recently, so I talked with her. Although she doesn't attend the church regularly, I asked, how have you been doing? She told me that she received senior pastor's prayer for the sick every day, and she had lived in concern. So I thought she is truly a sheep of the shepherd. You know, for the Friday online service, one of the church members who live in the local city came to Seoul to attend the divine healing meeting to receive God's grace. And she listened to the words of God and received the senior pastor's prayer for the sick. And yesterday, she finally attended the divine healing meeting. And she testified that after she got married, she had a problem with the in the lower belly, lower abdomen, and she suffered a lot because of that after her marriage. Because of that pain and disease, she was tormented. And she couldn't even sleep in her room, but she had to come out in the living room because she had to go to the bathroom. And once she went into the bathroom, she had to sit for quite a while. So she felt so apologetic to those who live with her. That's why she came out into the living room to go to the bathroom. So as she attended the divine healing meeting and received grace, she received the senior pastor's prayer for the sick. And one day, she also received a prayer from Mrs. Bong Nim Lee, and she found herself completely healed, and all the symptoms were gone. Because she received that kind of grace, I saw her seated in the middle of the sanctuary, and I asked, what kind of grace did you receive? And she explained how much she was blessed and how she was healed. And there's a person whose spiritual eyes is open, and she saw this with his spiritual eyes open. She saw a pastor in the sanctuary and standing up there, and she says she had received a lot of grace. So I thought, how earnestly the pastor prayed for this divine healing meeting. I think with his heart, he must have been with us. He must have been with us in the divine healing meeting with his spirit. His heart is here. So we have to keep in mind that he is with us with his spirit always. Manmin hopes for the glory of resurrection, which Manmin hopes for the glory of resurrection, which will soon unfold before our eyes, and trusts in the providence of God fulfilled through this church. Just as the disciples who participated in our Lord's suffering shared in His glory in the end, we also anticipate the glory which will be given each and every one of us. Our hope is that we will save numerous souls as spiritual warriors in the end time, and that we will enjoy the everlasting glory in New Jerusalem as the beautiful fruits of the shepherd. We should make sure to fulfill what our beloved senior pastor earnestly asked of us and come forth as the fruits of New Jerusalem. It is to achieve a sincere heart and perfect faith and a heart of spirit that never changes no matter the situation. Starting from today, we'll explore the senior pastor's sermon series, Cultivate a Heart Filled, and have a time to reflect on our original heart and share grace together. Back in 2010, when delivering this sermon series, senior pastor mentioned that Manmin faced the third stage of takeoff and that the time would come for Manmin to have an abundant harvest. He also said that the amounts of our harvest would be different depending on our heart. He exhorted us to cultivate our heart into a heart of good soil so that we would enjoy abundant harvest and be qualified for at least the third kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, as I go through this trial, there's something I repeatedly ponder over. There are sincere heart, perfect faith, steadfastness, what Father God truly desires, and His providence. As God gave the revelations of the end time to prophet Daniel, He said in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, "Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand." We have to become wise ones and figure out Father God's providence and will for this church in this end time and firmly believe in those things. While going through this trial of blessings, has any one of you felt tired out and worn out? And we have to keep in mind that that's why, I mean, Father God has appointed this church and the shepherd because He had to save numerous souls in the end time. We have to keep more deeply in mind and we have to realize that entering New Jerusalem is not a simple task. And we should have also firm assurance. Rather than thinking, oh, why did he leave the church? Why he did he do so and that? Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, he came over to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, Rabbi, these works done by you are possible only by Father God being with you." That's what he confessed. He was a good-hearted man. He had a good wisdom as well. We should also have such good wisdom. And because we have such good wisdom, we are here, seated here. Brothers and sisters, we have to meditate and pray, figure out God's will, and fulfill it. I hope that as we review Senior Pastor Sermon Series, Cultivate a Heart Field, all of us will become truly wise ones. By enduring this trial well, I pray in our Lord's name that all of us will reap abundant harvest in the day of glory and harvest. While preparing this message, I was once again reminded of the value and significance of the gospel of holiness. I also repented of not having understood His lamenting exhortations and also repented of having failed to obey. Brothers and sisters, for us to enjoy abundant harvest, first, we are required to examine our own heart field. Once we plant seeds in the field, they sprout, grow, and bear fruit, as they are provided with proper amounts of water, sunlight, and nutrients, etc. They grow well and bear fruit. It looks like seeds have no life, but they sprout, bloom, and bear fruit. What a mysterious thing this is! This happens according to the law of nature established by God the Creator. By the way, even though a farmer sows the same kind of seeds and provides the same conditions or environment, some fields bear abundant fruit, while other fields less fruit. The reason is that the quality of the soil varies by field. Some fields have fertile soil and produce much, while others are infertile and produce little. It's the same with spiritual fields. A spiritual field signifies a heart of man, while seeds, the words of God. You know, God created us out of dust, and He told Adam that He would return to a handful of dust. Like a hardworking farmer, God continually plants the seeds, His words, in the hearts of His believers. You know, you remember Senior Pastor earnestly planting the words of life, the seeds in our heart. Like a diligent farmer, he planted the words of God into our hearts. Also, as diligent farmers, we have to, you know, cultivate our heart diligently. Once His words are planted, they grow and bear fruit, both spiritually and physically. We can bring forth physical fruits such as financial blessings and good health, as well as spiritual fruits like the Beatitudes, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, etc. But do any of you think, I'm too slow in bearing fruit? Or do any of you see no sign of fruit at all? If so, Senior Pastor advised us to examine our own heart field, namely, the state of our heart. Senior Pastor delivered this sermon in 7 sessions, so we will review this sermon series and examine our own heart field. Second, let's talk about why Jesus likened man's heart to fields. To help people understand spiritual things better, Jesus often likened spiritual things to physical matters. The parable of sowing seeds featured in Matthew chapter 13 verses 3 to 9 is one of them. Just as there are fields of different soil, there are many different kinds of heart. Each and every man has a different look. The saying goes for heart, which causes differences in their personality, way of thinking, behavior, etc. Faced with the same situation, they all think and respond in different ways. Even while they see and hear the same things, each and every person think or make judgment or respond in a different way. Some psychologists said that just by hearing, we can win a person's heart. While we talk with someone, he argued that why people fail to talk one another, why people fail to communicate one another. He concluded that when we it's important that we talk with understanding, and if we do so, the other person would pay us back the same. If we make the other person feel that we are understanding him, the other person will pay us back with favor, he argued. And the reason we fail to communicate one another is that he explained the reason why we fail to communicate each other. People think the other person are wrong. With this precise, they forced impose his opinions on others. That's why they fail to talk. As I read this article, I thought this is pretty much in agreement with the truth. So while we talk with people, people have a tendency to talk a lot rather than hearing. But the Bible also tells us that we have to hear first. But there are people who have tendency to talk rather than hear. We have to admit that each and every person have a different way of responding or reacting, because we all of us grew up in a different environment. When we think people, another person is not, we have to admit or accept what the other person say. And then the other person would feel that we try to understand him. Of course, he may have shortcomings. He may have something wrong. But we have to put ourselves in his shoes and try to accept what he says. And then, because the other person feels that he is being understood, he volunteers to talk more and more with you, and the conversation continues. Some people are persistent. Even though someone suggests a better way, they hardly give up on his way. Others are receptive to others' opinions. Still others have a rough character, and so their words and actions reflect it. We can also see those with a meek heart, speaking and acting in a gentle way. All such differences originate from their heart. Our heart is not visible to our eyes, so Jesus likened man's heart to different types of field which are visible. He categorized them into four different types. What kind of heart we have is reflected in our life in various ways. Particularly, it makes a huge impact on our Christian life. For example, our heart field relates to how quickly we achieve a heart of spirit and whole spirit. Thus, it is essential that we know well about our heart and fix our shortcomings. What was man made of? As we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God created man out of dust. This is the reason Jesus likened man's heart to different types of field composed of dust. The quality of soil becomes different depending on what is added to it. If good ingredients are added, it turns into good soil. If bad ingredients are added, it becomes a bad soil. Even if a field has a high-quality soil, if garbage is thrown onto it or polluted water is poured onto it, it becomes devastated. By contrast, even a field of bad soil can turn into that of good soil if we remove bad ingredients and put in a proper amount of fertilizer. This is the case with man's heart. If we plant goodness in our heart, it becomes good. If we plant evil in our heart, it becomes evil. Third, let's talk about why we should cultivate our heart field. When God created the first man, Adam, his heart was like a field of fertile soil. He had such a tender and soft heart, which was void of evil and only filled with the knowledge of the truth. While living in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived peacefully, only obeying the will of God. But his heart, which was like a field of good soil, became like an infertile field. From the moment he disobeyed by eating from the tree of the knowledge, which God commanded never to eat from, his heart became increasingly devastated. As he committed sins, his spirit died and his communication with God was cut off. From then on, he began hearing the voice of the enemy devil. The enemy devil planted such untruths as hatred, envy, jealousy, anger, judgment, and condemnation in his heart. As a result, Adam's heart field turned barren. It was like a rough field which hadn't been cultivated for long and where all kinds of weeds thrived. Since the fall of Adam, his offspring have been born with such an infertile heart field. Of course, this isn't the case with all people. There are exceptional individuals born with a heart field of fertile soil. Because men inherit their parents' and ancestors' characteristics, they resemble their character as well as their appearance, etc. Namely, the traits which are passed on to us from our parents affect the way our heart field is formed. By the way, even if we are born with a heart field of fertile soil, if we don't take good care of it, it may be devastated. It's because the environment we grew up in and the way we are taught has an influence on the forming of our heart field. Of course, even those with a heart field of low-quality soil, as they continually plant goodness and love in it, they can cultivate it into a good heart field. But regrettably, because the world is deeply drenched in sins, while a child is growing up, he or she is exposed to a lot of untruth and planted in his heart. From childhood, people get affected by mass media such as TV or computer and quickly stained by the worldly trends. Children of unbelieving parents learn to sing K-pops and try their dance moves. Seeing this, parents clap and cheer, which incites them to do more. As they grow in an environment where people hate and quarrel each other, attributes of untruth are planted in their heart field. Nowadays, the world is like this. Of course, these are the indications and signs of the end time. You know, love cools down and people are focused on their individual life. You know, there are many households composed of only one person, single person. These are the signs of the end times, end time. Ironically, people, as things are becoming more convenient and economic situations are getting better, people are getting busier and people are overcome by more workload. You know, back in 1960s and 1970s, people were not as busy as we are now. But even though the economic situations are better, we are even busier. You know, husband and wife, both of them have to work. But dozens of years ago, only one of them worked. This is the traditional family. But nowadays, a husband and a wife go out and earn a living together. And some children, after they return home from school, they have to spend time alone at home. And they, you know, they play computers or connect to internet, and they accept bad things, not good things. They accept a lot of evil things as they play games. For example, as for me, I haven't played those games, but in those games, the character in the game, you know, murders a lot of people. This is a serious phenomena of the end time. Of course, as for some children who are educated well, a relatively good heart field is formed. As they are nurtured well by their parents or educated with worldly morals, they develop a relatively good heart. As for those people who've cultivated a rather good heart with the morals of the world, it's easier for them to make their heart into a field of fertile soil. But even people who've cultivated their hearts with the morals of the world discover many areas where they have to improve in light of the truth. At the time of their birth, all men inherit a heart filled embedded with a sinful nature. For this reason, without exception of no one, anyone has to go through the process of cultivating their heart into a heart of fertile soil after they accept the Lord. To cultivate the heart into a field of fertile soil means to root out such untruths as hatred, envy, etc. from the heart. This is what the gospel of holiness is like. Last week, during the divine healing meeting, our beloved Mrs. Bongnam Lee made the following confession. She explains how she spent the day, and she also shares what kind of awakening she received. And she also says how she changed herself and how she repented of the areas she found. You know, each and every day I receive grace from her sermon. So she also has to conduct the Daniel prayer meeting, and she also says that because she has to help the church members pray fervently, she cannot help but repent and discover her shortcomings and repent every day. So even when she discovers a trivial shortcomings, she has to repent because she has to help the church members pray fervently. That's what she confessed. But what about us? We have to cultivate our heart day after day. So like this, we have to reflect on ourselves, repent of ourselves, and until we make our heart into a heart of a fertile soil. From the confessions of Mrs. Bonglim Lee, I also sympathize with her. You know, I sometimes conduct the Daniel prayer meeting. I try to be careful with my words and actions when I do that. And I also try to pile up more prayer and try to make myself more perfect before, you know, conducting a Daniel prayer meeting. Just as she confessed, because she has to, on the altar, leading others to pray. I also had the same kind of heart. Once our heart field is cultivated, we can bear much fruit by sowing a lot of seeds. On the fields beside the road, and on the fields of stones and thorns, it's difficult for the words of God to grow into perfect fruit. The words may not sprout. Even if they sprout, they soon wither away. And even if they bear fruit, the fruit is low in quality. But if the words of God are sown on a field of fertile soil, we can bear 30, 60, or 100 times more fruit. We read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will also reap." This is the law of the spiritual realm. Fourth, we should restore our heart field to the original heart field God first created in man's heart. Once we accept our God, our Lord, and become His children, we start off the process of cultivating our heart field, which had been barren. Of course, we cannot make it into a heart of fertile soil immediately after accepting our Lord. As we attend church, we hear the words of God and discover attributes of untruth one by one. As we root out those attributes of untruth one by one, our heart field gradually turns into a field of fertile soil. In other words, we achieve a good and beautiful heart by which we only obey the words of God. There's no doubt that cultivation of our heart requires great toil and efforts. Also, depending on the state of our heart field, it takes more time for some people or less time for others. But the important thing is, any heart field can be transformed into a field of fertile soil by God's power. Moreover, the toil and hard work in cultivation cannot be compared to the joy of abundant harvest. But much to our regret, around us are people who've attended church for a long time. That's what Senior Pastor explained. I want you to pay attention. But much to our regret, around us are people who've attended church for a long time, but their heart field remains the same. It's the same like the one they have before accepting the Lord. They just kept their heart the same. When I heard this sermon years ago, I didn't understand what he meant. But as I went through this trial of blessings, as I saw people, as I, you know, consulted with people, I saw many of such cases where people, you know, didn't change their heart. They still keep the anger or bad temper or ill feelings. Of course, some of them, but their words and actions, even after 20 years of Christian life or 30 years of Christian life, they still have those evil attributes, regrettably. They still have such anger. They still have such ill feelings. So I saw with my own eyes such cases where people, you know, people's heart remained the same. Also, as I saw people who fall into temptation during this time of blessing, I also witnessed such cases. We have to check ourselves whether we fall under such category. You know, other people also confess that my 20 or 30 years of Christian life here are all in vain. They make such confessions because they didn't cultivate their heart during all this time. Otherwise, they would have possess spiritual faith because they didn't cultivate their heart. They fell down immediately. As the rain fell, as the wind blew, just as Jesus said, their houses were not built on the rock. Other people initially cultivate their heart to some extent, but stopped in the middle. As a result, weeds grow back and flourish, and stones are planted more deeply into their heart. We have to swim across the stream. This is what our Christian life is like. But if we don't move our arms and legs, we cannot swim across the stream across the current, but we will be drifted. We would end up being drifted. If we, you know, take a break from circumcising our heart, we just don't stay where we are. We are drifted. We backslide. Because the enemy devil will not leave us alone. They will. That's why I liken our Christian life to swimming against the current. Back to the point, and still others, because they didn't remove thorns at their roots, they failed to bear much fruit. You know, these people removed thorns and stones to some extent, but they cannot bear abundant fruit. There are also people who got rid of all stones and thorns, but didn't sow diligently, because they don't sow seeds diligently. They don't put things into action diligently. As a result, even though their heart field became fertile, they ended up with only a small amount of fruit because they didn't sow diligently. If you find yourself being in this case, we have to change our deeds. Except on fields beside the road, mostly seeds can sprout and bear fruit to some extent. There are fields that are not so good in quality, but by adding a lot of fertilizer, they can relatively bear much fruit. The words of life, manifestations of God's power, and God's grace, which are overflowing here in this church, serve as fertilizer. Senior pastor mentioned that even before our heart turns into a field of fertile soil, if we get complacent and no longer make efforts to cultivate our heart field, it is deeply deplorable, regrettable. If we, you know, stop, take a break from cultivating our heart field, you know, cultivating a field, we find the field filled with weeds again. The weeds grow back quickly. That's why we should never leave those weeds unattended. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, "Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken." Father God sent Adam and Eve, who committed a sin, down to this earth. He had them cultivate the ground and feed on its produce. God's having them cultivate the ground from which they were taken spiritually signifies that God has us cultivate our heart field and root out untruth. That's why, as children of God, we should diligently cultivate our heart field and restore it to the field of fertile soil. One of the senior deaconesses came over to me and shared her own testimony. She went through a severe trial of her heart. She didn't understand someone at all. She couldn't accept them at all. She actually, she, that person was her senior, her boss. She went through such a severe trial of the heart. And I advised her to achieve a spiritual love through this case. As she continually prayed and made efforts attending Daniel prayer meeting, but in the middle of her prayer, one day, before that, whenever she looked at that person, she had ill feelings. But in the middle of her prayer, one day, as she looked at the person, she felt comfortable in heart. She didn't have that ill feelings. You know, she was peaceful. She didn't feel frustrated while looking at that person. So she happily welcomed the new year and started off the... And she came over and told me that how she suffered the trial and how she overcome that trial. And also she added that how, what kind of blessing she received as a result. She feels she is being loved by God. She says, a person like me can receive love from God. Of course, you may think of this as trivial, not that big of a deal, but to her, this was a big deal. One day, she felt like eating some kimchi. As soon as she had that desire, someone brought her a bowl of kimchi. You know, this rarely happened. But as soon as she had developed a desire to eat kimchi, someone, you know, this was not kind of a person who does that often, but she suddenly showed up and gave him a bowl of kimchi. And another thing, she ran out of one of her makeups. There are some makeups she uses on her lips, but she was running out of it. But another church member, all of a sudden, this has never happened before. And totally out of expectation, he brought that makeup and offered it as a gift. You know, it's really rare for people to give makeup as a gift because we are not sure of another person's taste when it comes to makeups. But this person brought a makeup that exactly she needed. She wondered how that person knew what she needed. Specifically, that product, that specific product. Because it was something that she needed. She was so happy. And she reacted, positively. But the person who brought that gift was, you know, didn't understand what was happening because she was overreacting, you know. I also have another thing to share with you. And she also, you know, was blessed financially by God. It's not that her husband received financial blessings, but totally out of the blue, totally out of expectation, someone brought her some money. And he offered to give it to her for some reason. He said that he all of a sudden wanted to give that money to her. It was some thousands of dollars, and she happily testified that how she was blessed like this. Brothers and sisters, once we cultivate our heart feel like this, Father God will surely bless us this way. Let me conclude today's message. Brothers and sisters, today we've explored the senior pastor's sermon series, Cultivate a Heart Filled, which was preached back in 2010. To sum up, first, I reminded you that we should examine our heart filled to reap abundant harvest. Second, I explained why our Lord likened man's heart to different types of field. Third, I spoke about the reasons that we have to cultivate our heart fields. Lastly, I exhorted you to cultivate your heart field and restore it to the original heart field that God created in you. As we cultivate our heart field, we may see beautiful and fancy flowers blooming in it. But the ultimate purpose of our cultivation is not blooming, but bearing abundant fruit. To this end, we should never cease to cultivate our heart field. We should restore it to the field of fertile soil that God originally created in us. Thus, I pray that all of us will reap abundant fruits in the time of blessings and the upcoming days of harvest.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.